Nor the last time, if you would turn to your Bibles, chapter 5, verse 3 through 10, as we stand and read God's Word. And I'm just going to, we've heard this a few times, so we'll start at verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this time tonight that we have in your house today. Thank you for the fellowship and just being within your presence with your with our other brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you don't let my words or my thoughts get in the way of your message tonight, and I pray that everyone takes a little bit something from it. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I'll try not to be so fast this time. So, out of all of the Beatitudes or blessings that we have studied thus far, from Christ's famous teaching found in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, seems like the easiest to claim and live out. No one openly enjoys living in conflict or tension. However, notice that this verse does not just say, blessed are those who live in peace, but rather, blessed are the peacemakers. Again, just like the blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are those who mourn, these Beatitudes seem like a contradiction. How can a blessing, or as it is put in the Greek, happiness, come from actively striving for peace? Doesn't peace involve ample amounts of self-control, self-sacrifice, and pain? Once again, we have to look a little deeper into the context of this blessing and take a closer look at the one who said it. My first point would be, children of God are supposed to act like their father. John explains in John 1:12, if you all turn there. I'll wait for the pages to stop turning. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Here John is explaining that those that believe and follow Jesus are already called children of God. Children model the behavior of their parents, and God is the peacemaker. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and in this beatitude, it is those who are peacemakers will be called the children of God. In other words, the children of God act as peacemakers. They are identified as the children of God because of their peacemaking actions. And we can all relate to this. Almost everybody in here has children. You know, sometimes they do things we don't like, and sometimes they make us proud. And, we just got to live like Christians or little Christ, be like Christ. And it takes a lot to embody that, but it's a challenge worth striving for. Amen. All right, my second point is, peacemakers love their enemy. I'm going to read, if you'll turn to Matthew 5, and then go to 43. And we're going to read all the way to the end. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that we are to love our enemies. While this is easier said than done, Jesus did not say it just to say it. He meant it. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse my pages like to stick together, so. There it is. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, hold on, am I reading the right one? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Yes, I am, okay. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Peacemaking requires loving those you disagree with and loving those who hurt you. It means praying for peace in your relationships, in your church, in your community, and around the world. And then if we'll turn to Proverbs 16:7. We'll see here in Proverbs 67, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen. We get this a lot out in, you know, public with people you say, and I've seen and I've met people myself, you know, hold grudges, angry. Some people just like to start stuff. I mean, there's nothing simpler than that. Some people are just angry and mean and hateful and just have stuff buried in their heart that they haven't taken care of. And if we can show them, you know, just not how we embody peace, but just how it affects our lives and our relationships, we could be that, you know, that little bit of light that can chink their armor, you know, to get God and the Holy Spirit, you know, in there to do the work that needs to be done. And my third point, which will be a little bit longer point, but this is going a whole lot faster than I thought. Peacemakers like to resolve conflicts. Let's see. I think this is where I want to start. One second. I wrote the verses, but I don't have them all memorized. So, Matthew 18. We'll start in we've heard this, I feel like we've heard this a bunch this year, but we'll start Matthew 18, and then we'll start over at verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Peacemakers resolve conflicts rather than aggravating them, avoiding them, or bearing grudges. Instead of causing conflicts or inciting arguments, peacemakers are intentional about ending disagreements and seeking peace. Additionally, peacemakers strive for reconciliation. They are not merely trying to keep dinner time peaceful, they are working to reconcile relationships and mend hurts. If we'll go to Ephesians 4, and we'll go to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. In conflict with another person as believers, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to become the peacemaker. This does not mean giving up or giving in to whatever another person wills, but it does mean working even harder to find an equitable solution. Sometimes being a peacemaker means stepping into someone else's conflict and taking blows from both sides until a resolution can be reached. Regardless whether you are the one in conflict or a third party, dealing with the conflict is a messy and painful process. Thankfully, peacekeeping is not something we have to do on our own. And let's go to Matthew 5:24. Leave there thy gift and a lot of times us as peacemakers, we also find that, hold on, I lost my spot. As peacemakers, sometimes we find that, we feel like things aren't going right in our life or something's amiss, and sometimes we forget to take a look introspectively to us to see if, did we do something, are we missing out on a blessing or something because we haven't done what we need to do to clear up something that, we feel wronged in or something like that. So Matthew 5:24. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Sometimes something within us puts something between us and God, and we need to make sure we take care of that as well, not just between our brother and sister in Christ. Okay. And then Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We are called to peace, but we first have the peace of Christ. Jesus not only created peace, but also set an example of peace when he came between both God and man as our Savior. Amen. He gave his life for us so that we could come near in relationship with God. He was the ultimate peacemaker. Today, we can extend Christ's peace to others through the message of the gospel while also living at peace with others through the Spirit. Ephesians 4:2-3 affirms this with saying, with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The reward for this beatitude is twofold, the blessing that results from peace, as well as being called a child of God. We share in Christ's very heart for reconciliation when we live as peacemakers in our daily lives. In this way, we bear resemblance to the Lord and reflect his goodness in our lives like a child reflects his parents' teachings. This gives all the glory back to him. Amen. Peacemaking is not easy. It is hard to turn the other cheek to forgive those who have sinned against us. Others should be able to tell we follow Jesus by our attempts at peacekeeping, and peacemaking is only possible with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that is it. Wow.